Welcome back, everybody. John Hancock in for Mark Reardon, but only for the next 2 hours because Mark is back here on Friday, on tomorrow. Whoa. We have the Reardon Roundtable. We got the whole gang in here now. Sue's sitting over there. Fred Bottomer.
Hey there.
Hey, standing at his microphone. Ethan Hannaford working the board ever so effectively. And Fred, you're not a grandpa yet, are you?
No, I have two sons, 27 and 25, but no grandkids.
Well, they're just around the corner. And I will tell you, 3.5 years ago, I became a grandpa for the first time.
Aw.
You're never really sure how that's all going to work, but you want to be the fun grandparent. And, you know, because you're not the only grandparent out there. You know, you got people on the other side of the equation. You got your own wife.
And, oh, good point.
And so, you know, you like to...
There's
like
competition.
So little Tula is born, and she's not crawling yet, and I bought her a really nice set of bongo drums, which 3 years in have been absolutely beat to hell. Anyway, we took her shortly after she started walking to the butterfly house.
Nice.
Lovely. The butterflies flittering around out there, and saw a couple of them pointing that. She's talking a little bit, but not much. But one of the few words she does know is pawpaw, which made me very happy, and because that's me.
Yes.
And so...
Got that.
So we get out of the butterfly house there, and Tula looks over, and there's a playground. Fun. And there's a jungle gym on this playground, and she's running. And she says, Papa! And she, so, man... I'm running.
Did you run? Yeah.
I am the fun grandparent. So we get up and there's a little, and she's, you know, she's maybe two. And so she's the littlest person on this thing, you know, and the kids swinging on the monkey bars and whatnot. She starts ascending the staircase. Papa, she says, I'm coming, sweetheart. And I'm running, you know. And she's going up the staircase. I'm out of breath at this point. And we get to the top of the staircase. There's a landing right there. And then just to the right of the landing, there are these little archways. And by little, I mean really little. They're maybe 6 inches wide, these archways.
Oh, my gosh.
Pawpaw, she says. She goes under the archway. Oh. This way, Pawpaw. And I'm looking at this archway, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know.
Not so, gonna happen.
So I'm the cool grandpa. So I squeeze.
Did you?
I squeeze through this archway.
This is not going to end well.
There's another one. Papa, she says. Oh, no. I'm thinking, this is awful. So she runs right through, you know. I get to get through the second one. At this point, I'm thinking the defibrillator may be needed at any moment. There's another one. So, I guess, we made it through the archways. Then there's a monkey bridge. You know, one of those swinging, and I'm thinking, no, this ain't happening. I said, Tula, sweetheart, we can't go over that. And she starts crying.
Oh, no.
Because she wants to get on the monkey bridge. And I said, you know what, this could be my final day with this grandchild. So I pick her up. She's screaming. And there's one way out through those archways.
Oh, no.
So I holding a screaming child in my hand, push her through the archway and proceed to squeeze myself back through.
Oh my God.
Three more times. We finally get to the landing. All we have to do now is make it down the stairs. We're standing on the landing, and I look down. There's a family sitting on the bench there. And the guy looks up at me, and he kind of squints, and he says, hey, aren't you John Hancock? I said, you know, I get that all the time.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So all of that is to say, when you got the grandkids, you need to do a little advance work before you start.
A little recognizance.
Yeah, because that could have really been bad. Well, I ran into a story the other day I just thought was incredible. And I got to find, oh, there it is. These two buddies, Miami Mark Paul. You ever heard of him?
Nope.
No.
And his buddy, Dino Mateo. So they're Californians. They're kind of, I don't know, they're kind of hipsters, you know, but they love horse racing. And they're not big-time gamblers. Neither one of them's wealthy. And so Miami Mark goes to a race, and he sees a 2-year-old filly running. And it's in California. It's the Santa Anita Derby, and she wins it.
Whoa.
It was cool. And he said that he looked the horse in the eyes, and what he saw was a champion. And he said, and he goes and he runs, he tells his buddy Dino, he says, man, this horse is incredible. It's filly. That means female horse, as you may know. And so he says, you know, if she wins the whatever next year as a three-year-old, she'll qualify for the Kentucky Derby. I looked this horse in the eye. That horse is going to win the Kentucky Derby. Now, there's been two fillies in 100 years who have won the Kentucky Derby. Okay. Two. And it had been 100 years since a filly won. There's only been 14 fillies in the field ever in the 130-some-year history of the Kentucky Derby. So this guy, he's just because he looked the horse in the eye, he knew. Sure enough, the horse, old Winning Colors was her name. In 1988, she wins the preliminary. She qualifies for the Kentucky Derby, the 14th filly in history to qualify. And we're still months off. And he's excited. He says, this horse is going to win. This horse is going to win. And he's got his buddy all convinced. And he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the early odds. She's 40-1 right now at Churchill Downs. But wait a minute. She's 50-1 in Tijuana, Mexico. Buddy, we're driving to Tijuana, and we're going to each put $2,500. Now, they don't have that kind of money. You know, we're each going to put $2,500 down on Winning Colors to win the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to do it in Tijuana. They get in the car, and they drive down, they place their bets. The guy's looking at them like they're nuts. 20 for the filly, he said. Yeah, he confirmed. For Winning Colors, for to win. Yeah, $2,500. They both do it. So, months go by. They're kind of tracking the horse, seeing how the preparation's going. Oh, and she's trained by D. Wayne Lucas, a very prominent trainer of Derby horses. Well, out of the gate, Winning Colors bolts into the lead. But she's being chased down by the favorite in the race, whose name escapes me at the moment. And she wins. She wins. But now they got to go to Tijuana to collect their now $500,000 that they've won on a 50-1 horse at a racetrack, the Agua Caliente, that is owned by a drug cartel mobster.
Oh, my gosh.
And what proceeded, I've run out of time here, but basically it took them two trips and a team of bodyguards and escorts and pillowcases and suitcases to get their money, but they got their money.
Oh, my
Winning Colors,
gosh.
The last filly to win the Kentucky Derby. Well,
that's
a good story.
What a story.
It is a good story.
Holy cow.
When we come back, my favorite part of the entire show, Sue's News. That's next on 97.1.
Now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, good news. It's National Lighthouse Day. I think we've all been waiting for that. Fred, I know you have.
Oh, yeah.
About time.
National Disc Golf Day. Have you ever played?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I have.
Have you?
I can throw a frisbee or a disc.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a Fred skill?
Yeah, it's something I can do.
It's good to know. They have a kind of like St. Louis has a group that runs around and sets up temporary places to play this. They do it in a park near me. So you'll walk out on a Saturday and they'll be driving up and there's a bunch of cars and they put up these, you know, the things where you throw the disc.
The poles.
And they set up, and they're there, and people are on blankets for, like, the entire tournament, and then they pick up and leave. I've never seen it.
Jefferson Barracks has a good setup for disc golf.
Oh, that's
there's
good
There's also
to know.
One in St. Charles. Actually, there's a couple in St. Charles.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also National Braiders Day for whatever you're going to do that with. Okay. We've got good music for this today, and that's good since we've got John Hancock. 55 years ago today.
All right.
In 1970.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder released this album.
Oh, yeah, baby. Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby. Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
Oh, I don't know how you can't love that. That was the title track, and of course it was his cover of We Can Work It Out is on this album as well.
A lot of hits on that album.
A lot. 55 years ago was 1970.
Wow.
And 35 years ago today, this is the world's longest intro because this was 1990 when Extreme released their second album. And of course on there was More Than Words. All right, we've all heard that. This one is the other hit from that album. It's called Wholehearted, but it takes a really long time to get there. That's right, 35 years old. Extreme. They just disappeared. I think they're still around.
It's a great tune, though.
It's not, it is.
I don't even think I recognize that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
You remember more than
words.
Yeah,
I do.
I think if you watch the video, Fred, you go, oh, yeah, I kind of, oh, yeah. It even gets better, but the intro's so long that it takes up all my time. Okay, the story out today is that Major League Baseball is calling up its first female umpire, who will be promoted for Saturday's Miami Marlins-Braves game. Her name is Jen Powell. She'll work the bases during the doubleheader that day, but be behind the plate on Sunday. And Commissioner Rob Manfred said, "This historic accomplishment in baseball is a reflection of her hard work, dedication, love of the game. She's earned this opportunity." It's just interesting to me that she's been working spring training games for the last 2 years. She's been umpiring in the minors since 2016, including working at the plate for 2023 AAA championship game. But it's 2025. It's just kind of amazing to me.
Kind of seems overdue.
Yeah.
There's just so few spots because it is such a coveted position, right? Being a major league umpire.
Uh-huh.
And you're protected by the union, so it's pretty much yours until you retire. That's why you see so many people get mad over over these umpires that they can't stand. Well, that they, I can't recall a situation where an MLB umpire got fired. So they really have it as long as they want.
Well, it's interesting. Other sports have had female officials for many years. Violet Palmer was the NBA's first female ref in 1997, and that was 28 years ago.
Wow.
Shannon Easton became the NFL's first female on-field official in 2012. I guess I just hadn't realized that there wasn't one in baseball. And I don't really care. I want the best person for the job. But it just kind of struck me today when
let
I read
you,
it.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of bad umpires out there. And do you watch the umpire scorecard website?
I do.
I do, too. I mean, some of these, you know, or getting into the high 80% accuracy,
which is terrible.
80%.
Yeah, it's horrible. And I mean, we finally got rid of Angel Hernandez. How long did that take?
Too long.
Yeah,
way too long.
And there's some bad ones there now. So good for Jen. I can't wait to see her performance on the umpire scorecard.
Okay, is that a website?
Yeah.
What is that? Oh, so you just go and see? Oh, yeah, I thought that was a bad call. I want to see if anybody else did.
It's specific for calling the game right,
and the they are
you know, looking at the percentages. For what's your average? You know, which pitches were your did you miss the worst on? You know, a bunch of different things, but it's based around your percentage of basically calling the game correctly.
All of the pitches that you miss are spotted on the on the screen. There you can see how.
So you can tell who's the best and who isn't.
Oh,
very interesting. By the way, Kelly Clarkson, she was going to do a residency. I'm throwing this in because I just read it before we came on here. But in Vegas, and she said, no, I have to take care of my kids. My husband, my ex-husband is ill. Well, he passed away this afternoon.
Oh, my.
What?
He was only 48.
Yeah.
He was battling a health issue.
Wow.
So he completely, it just freaked me out when I got here because she just announced.
How old is she?
Well, if he's 48, I don't know, somewhere in the 40s. I did not look that up.
Huh.
Molly Shannon and Will Ferrell are going to do a golf comedy series on Netflix. Anyone? Anyone? Now, they're signed up to do it, but nobody's released the title yet. The show is Will's idea. He's going to play a golf legend, and all they've released about her part is she will be a woman named Stacy. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow. Have you guys seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet?
Ethan has.
Yes. I really enjoyed it.
Recommended.
I thought it was, for what it was advertised to be, right? I thought it did.
How many stars
really
you give it out of five?
I would give it a four.
A four star from Ethan Hanifer.
Yeah, now, only with the proper expectations.
I was going to say.
Only with the proper expectations.
And there's a shock in the, what, is it the first half hour?
Sooner than that.
The first 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So you just be aware of that.
All right.
All right. These two, by the way, Shannon and Farrell did a lot of sketches together on SNL. She's been in some of his movies like Talladega Nights. It could be fun. We'll see how that goes. And another change to the streaming world, the Hulu app, we talked about this a little yesterday, is going to go away sometime next year, and you'll have to have Disney Plus to get it.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't want Disney Plus. I want Hulu. Of note, back in 2007, their slogan was, watch your favorites anytime for free. Okay, well, maybe not.
Yeah, that went away.
And that's gone.
Different world.
My favorite contests was last night. If anybody can Google this, I recommend doing it. It's a minor league baseball team in New York, the Brooklyn Cyclones.
Yeah.
And what they do is they bring in people from the audience, and they do an Elaine Benes dance contest.
Oh. I saw this video
from Seinfeld. It is one of the most hilarious things you will see. Even Ethan saw it. The woman who won wore a dress like Elaine Benes. She had the hair that went like that.
The
she
clogs,
even did the
like
clogs.
The shoes, yep.
And she smacked the guy at the end. I mean, it is brilliant. So if you are a Seinfeld fan and you want to see this, like Elaine, the episode was in season 8 called The Little Kicks. George Costanza referred to the dance as, quote, a full-body dry heave set to music. Oh, if you want to see it, it's kind of awesome.
So good.
I recommend it. Just look it up and you can see. Okay, and Heinz and Smoothie King have just debuted the ketchup smoothie. I can't. And multiple reports say it's actually pretty good. I do not like ketchup in general. Fred, would you eat this?
It's ketchup in a what?
It's a smoothie.
No.
And it's... here's the thing. Tomatoes are technically fruit.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, we can put this into something and just call it, it's a fruit smoothie. Well, we'll see.
I'm not doing it.
If it was free, I would try it.
Yeah, there are worse things.
I would go for it.
Plain ketchup. I mean, you know, ketchup, when it was invented, it was a wall paste.
What?
The original invention.
I am happy to believe that.
Yeah, yeah. And now look at it.
Ugh.
Now we can have it in a smoothie.
Right?
That's right. The Heinz tomato ketchup smoothie also, here's how they cheat. It includes strawberries, raspberries, apple juice, and Heinz signature ketchup. A writer for People magazine described it as sweet and tangy. It said they were impressed with how well the savory ketchup blended with the other ingredients.
It helps when you can just put a little dose of it in mixed with all those other fruits.
Well, that's true, too. To try one, though, you'd have to take a road trip to Chicago. I don't think they have them at the ones around here. Just because I also think that they also realize that most people are like, you know what, I'll just get a regular smoothie. I don't have to have that. And my cute story of the day is there's a beach in Maine that's made it into the news because they've added a free dog library. Instead of books, it's got sticks and tennis balls, whatever your dog likes.
Wow.
If your dog falls in love with a certain stick and he doesn't want to return it, that's okay. He can take it home. You got to bring one back the next day to replace it. It's a dog library at the beach. I think it's adorable. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Okay, you know, a group of certain things is a certain name. The word for a group of pugs is a grumble.
A grumble of pugs.
That checks out.
And that's it for Sue's news.
Sue's news, folks. We love it. We can't get enough of it. It's outstanding. The county executive of St. Charles, Steve Ellman, is going to join us next. Going to talk about the new Gateway Police Academy. That's coming your way on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk, your conservative talk radio station here in St. Louis. And I'm John Hancock, sitting in for Mark Reardon. He will be back tomorrow with all of us. And we are looking forward to having him back. Joining us right now is my old buddy, County Executive Steve Ellman of St. Charles County. And so much going on in the region, Steve, but one of the big issues, and I guess it was finally resolved last week, was the approval of the cooperative agreement for this St. Louis, greater St. Louis, Gateway Police Academy. Tell me what that is and what it does, or what it will do.
Well, first of all, John,
I think we need for Jefferson County to pass their ordinance, which is going to happen here in the next week or two. But, yeah, you're correct. Franklin County, I think, passed it first, and we passed it in St. Charles County a week later, and St. Louis County passed it the next day. So we're real close, and we'll have those four counties participating. And once the intergovernmental agreement between them is final, the various county executives will go ahead and make appointments to a board that will run. And you call it an academy, and there will be an academy there, but I'd rather refer to it as a facility, because what we're building here is a facility that anybody can use. Those four counties, I think, right now pretty much agree on how police officers should be trained. Mm-hmm. But God forbid, somewhere down the line here, St. Louis County would buy into some sort of defund the police movement or whatever, that would, I think, trigger a different approach, and they could continue to use the facility and do whatever they wanted to do. But the rest of us, would go ahead and use the same facility just at a different time on a different day, and continue to take the approach that all of us are taking right now.
And this thing is going to have state-of-the-art training facilities, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, I used to be a basketball coach, and I used the metaphor I use is, when I was coaching basketball, back when you had chalkboards, you'd have a chalk talk in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
You'd put X's and O's on the board and show your players kind of what you wanted them to do. And back in those days, that's pretty much what the police officers got, too. Hmm. They got instruction in the classroom. Well, even back then, after you did a chalk talk, you'd go out on the floor and you'd walk through your plays, and then you'd run through them, and then you'd put some defense against them and you practice. And that's what we're going to have the ability to do with our police officers now. Put them in a real life situation. Put them in a situation where there's a room where they have to knock down a door, not knowing whether there's somebody on the other side that might have a gun, not knowing, exactly when they get in that situation in their job. It won't be the first time that they've encountered it. And hopefully they'll develop some muscle memory and some ability to better deal with those difficult situations, which every police officer eventually has to deal with.
And the benefit of having multiple jurisdictions sharing a facility, I would think, is that you're able to run a lot more potential future officers through there, covering a much larger footprint, who are going to have a consistency of training, right, for the most part.
That's correct. And, I think, the probably 60-70% of the police officers in the region are from St. Louis County, but there's more and more every day from St. Charles, Jefferson, and Franklin. And even in St. Louis County, the St. Louis County police are well trained now, and I think most of our departments out here in St. Charles County are also in good shape. But especially in St. Louis County, there's a lot of these small police departements. I think you got 45 police departements.
55, I think.
Some of them are. Well, some of them are excellent, and others probably their people probably need the training more than others. So it's going to help everybody, but I think it's going to benefit some parts of the region even more than others.
Is there a reason why the city of St. Louis is not participating?
Well, the usual suspects.
It's just us, buddy. It's just you and me.
Yeah, I guess so. We could round up the usual suspects, although I'm very hopeful that with the new administration in the city that we will be able to work something out. See, this all started back in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and it was originally just going to be the city and the county.
Yeah,
and it was the St. Louis Police Foundation. It was behind the whole thing. Well, the problem, of course, is, unlike what I described earlier, they weren't going to do a facility. They were going to do a training program. Well, by that time, the city of St. Louis was into this defund the police thing, and their idea about how to train police officers was entirely different than the county's. And that's why the whole thing fell apart. And that's why we've planned this thing, you know, so that we will probably have all the same training right now. But if it ever gets to the point where, you know, where we feel like they're not training the people the way we want to, that's fine. We'll start our own. We'll start our own program and use the same facilities. And I told Sam Page, who's a doctor, trying to explain this to him. And I said, Sam, you're a doc. I said, you know, we have hospitals out there. Within the hospital, you have different groups of doctors, you know, practicing medicine in different ways. You don't force everybody to do it the same way, but everybody uses the same facility. And right now, I think we're all going to agree on what the training should be. But if it ever is not that way, we have a facility, and we'll go in and we'll train our people the way we want them to be trained, and other jurisdictions can do the same.
I do have a question, Steve. Do you have hope that the city will come? How you doing?
I didn't know you were there.
Yes. I guess I'm wondering if you have hope. I mean, that the city will come back in. I know the former administration. I mean, are you seeing kind of an upturn in hope for that sort of thing?
I definitely want to see them come in. I know the governor, and of course, this is all being funded by state money. I know that the governor very much wants the city to get involved in this. I mean, right now, from everything I've read in the paper and heard, I mean, they don't have much at all in terms of training our facilities to do good training. We're hopeful. In fact, this whole intergovernmental agreement, if you read it, it's set up to deal with the four counties right now. But there are provisions in there already in the event that St. Louis City will come in that will, affect slightly the governance structure, but hopefully not the overall product that we're trying to put together.
And the municipalities, they're able to just opt into this on their own?
Yeah, they will be, you know, the various municipalities and municipal police departments, yeah, they will, SLAPCA, which is the organization of those various departments in the region, they're very supportive of this. And again, it will be supported. It'll be built with state taxpayers' money, but it will be supported by the organizations that use it. So if you use it a lot, you'll pay more. If you don't use it much, you won't pay much. But it'll be up to the individual municipal departments how much or how little they want to use it.
Steve, who gets to determine how it's run? If it's state funded, who runs it? In other words, huh?
That's a great question, and this is what I've been emphasizing for the last year and a half. We've been working on this, really more like 2 years now. You got politicians who've been working hard to get the money appropriated and to work out this agreement on how it's going to be governed. And, you know, if regionalism was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It has been a real challenge to get four executives to agree. And I thought it was going to be even tougher to get the legislatures to come along. But I think we've put together something good, and we're moving forward. But here's the deal. Once we get this agreed to, and once we get the building built, we are turning this over to law enforcement. It's not going to be politicians making these decisions. It's going to be the police chiefs, sheriffs, the governing board will be not composed of a bunch of politicians, but some people who know something about how to police.
That's it really sounds revolutionary. I don't know if this kind of model has been done elsewhere in the country, but it's certainly new for the St. Louis region. Timeline on constructing this thing, and do we know where it's going to be built?
Well, it's all we've said about that. And, of course, until we got this agreement signed and sealed and delivered here, we couldn't even talk to anybody about purchasing property to build or even existing buildings. But what we've all have agreed to is the fact that the four counties involved right now, if you look at the demographics of those four counties, the demographic center for those four counties is I-64 and 141 in St. Louis County. So the goal is to get this thing as close as we can to that point. obviously, you know, we got people coming a long way from parts of Franklin and Jefferson County. So we want to try to be as centrally located as we can. But as you also know, John, that's your neighborhood. That's kind of a high rent neighborhood.
I was going to say, that's exactly where I live. And, you know, for the right price, buddy, I'd toss my house out there for you.
Well, okay. If we get really hard up, we'll call you. But, you know, I think it's going to be probably somewhere in Chesterfield, maybe across the river in Weld Spring. I mean, I'd love to see it be on the bluffs over on the St. Charles County side overlooking St. Louis County. How's that sound?
It sounds good to me. It's going to have...
But now, John, here you understand that the ideal place politically to build something like this would be in an island in the Missouri River, right?
Yes.
We build it on an island in the Missouri River, but then again, think about it. You're going to have to build a bridge to the island. Is that bridge going to connect to St. Louis or St. Charles County?
It can go in many different directions, Steve. That is the county executive of St. Charles County, our very good friend Steve Ellman, kind enough to join us to talk about this regional gateway police training facility. It's going to be spectacular, and I think it's going to improve the law enforcement of our entire region. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Sue.
Yep. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new Billy Joel documentary. I've been raving about it on the show today because it's so good. I just finished it last night. Addie Monfort with Variety Magazine did a review of it. She's going to join us from Croatia. That's next on 97.1 FM. Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. John Hancock filling in for Mark. He's back tomorrow with all of us. And I spent the last two evenings watching this brand new documentary about Billy Joel. It's called Billy Joel and So It Goes. It airs on HBO Max in 5 hours and worth every minute of it. Joining us to talk about it from Croatia is Addie Monfort. She's with Variety Magazine. You interviewed the two women that produced this thing. It's a stunning documentary, I thought.
I did, too. I thought it was great. I mean, I honestly have to say that, like, I like Billy Joel, but I wasn't a huge fan until I saw the documentary.
Yeah, and he's so raw in this thing. The interviews with him, he's so honest about, and you know, the guy's not had a perfect life by any means, been in and out of rehab treatments, been married, what, four times? You know, but a musical genius. How did the producers talk about how they got involved in the project?
So I think actually it was his team's idea, like his people around him. You're getting a little older. They knew the Madison Square Garden thing was coming to an end. And I think they wanted to document like his life. But he took convincing. He didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I wondered that. How long did it take to convince him? It's Sue. I'm just chiming in here.
So Susan Lacy is like this, she's done everyone. She did Steven Spielberg, you know, she's done a lot for PBS and HBO. I think like once they said Susan Lacy's doing it, he was like, okay. I think it was at least 6 months to 12 months.
Oh, that's pretty good. Because I wondered that when I first heard that it was coming out. And here's something else that struck me. After it was released, his daughter Alexa posted about it. And it sounded like, and of course this is social media, but it was her post. And she said she and her mother, which of course would be Christie Brinkley, watched it and found out stuff maybe they hadn't known, or maybe his feelings about some stuff. I mean, they said that they were really moved by it. And I thought, holy cow, if you get to the inside people, that must be something.
I think the thing about his father, I don't think he's opened up a lot about his past to like clearly Christie Brinkley. I mean, I think he keeps it all in. That was my take. And you know, Susan is an expert about getting everyone to kind of come, you know, kind of, you know, be true
spill
about their past.
Yeah,
you know, and he didn't set any kind of limitations on this or where it could go. I mean, they could ask whatever they wanted. I learned stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Billy Joel has a half brother,
lives did
in,
not know that.
Lives in Europe, who's a conductor.
What?
But
yeah.
But didn't you find, like, when you watched it, that his father, who he met, like, while he was really successful, didn't even know about his success? I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, his father doesn't sound like a very winsome character.
But he didn't, like, he had to find his father. And then he found him, and I just thought that whole story was kind of incredible. Like, he searched for his father while he was on tour in Europe. They were about to go back to America, and someone said, oh, we found your father. And I just thought that was incredible. You know, I think that he thought that his success would make his father feel proud, and I don't know if it did.
Yeah, I think the father had, I mean, Billy Joel's got a lot of issues, but I think the father had a lot of issues as well. Eddie Morfoot is our guest. She's with Variety. Thanks so much. Are you on vacation in Croatia?
I'm actually working. There's a film festival here that I'm covering.
Beautiful country, man. Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy it, and thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Or I guess this evening for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, get some rest, Eddie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was.
I can't wait to see it.
It's so good. And it's in two parts. They're each about 2.5 hours long. He's very candid. The Christie Brinkley gets very teary in a couple of places talking about the relationship. And, you know, and his first wife.
Yeah.
Who was married to his best friend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, and became his manager, his first manager.
Now,
yeah,
that part I knew.
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. Well, we need to step aside. We've got some news coming your way. And one more hour, the Mark Reardon Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk.